What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Sirius XM Channel 159. Tony Finn, the legend. Tony Finn, kicking with us. His phone was blowing up. Big star. Tony Finn, WagerTalk.com. Straight from Las Vegas, Nevada. So, Tony, we got about 7 more minutes with you. We appreciate your time. So let's keep this rolling right now. We're talking about Kansas rolling Creighton. Total is 139.5. I got Creighton in a money line parlay right now, guys, if you want to jump in, if you're tuning in. We do follow the AFL, so it's not just a full, like, blind degen bet or anything like that. It is week one, so it's the team's first games. But we're ready to rock. We got the Brisbane Lions to win and the Kansas Jayhawks to win. What do you make of a UCLA-St. Mary's game? Teams that are very, very similar. They run like they're very, very, they're mirror images of each other. That's the best way of putting it. It's like the Spider-Man gift.
Yeah. As far as technical schemes go, yes, I agree with you 100%. They both play, they both are grinders. They play defense in your face.
They don't shoot early in the clock. You know, they milk the clock a bit. They pass the ball around. You know, they are similar. UCLA have better athletes, but St. Mary's is a hell of a team this year.
Yeah, listen, I think that was a bad spot. I think St. Mary's win was St. Mary's rolled. UCLA struggled, right? And people talked to me about that all day today. I said, leave it alone. That's typical. When it comes to athletes, as you just mentioned, UCLA does something that very few teams can do, and that is they can play an isolation offense that is over the top. If you watched them play Arizona, and Arizona handled them, didn't really handle them. They beat them, but these are the kind of teams that give Arizona problems. This Johnny Juzang is an NBA player. Those NBA ready. When you can create your own shots like he can, they're a dangerous team. This UCLA, they can rebound, and it's Mick Cronin, right? Mick Cronin he's a tournament guy, and he builds and trains and teaches for tournament time. UCLA is I will not stand in their way, Gabe. They win this game. I think they do it convincingly.
And you know what? The argument you just made right there, too, you could argue that the number's light there. St. Mary's getting a lot of respect. It was 2.5 up to 3, but they're getting a lot of respect, aren't they, the St. Mary's?
Yes, they are. They are. Listen, that's what St. Mary's does, too. That's they score off their defense, and they don't shoot very many threes, but they sure did pretty well. I think they shot 21, which is a ridiculous number for them, right? And they hit 10 of them, and they schooled. They just took Indiana to the woodshed. Looked great.
Yeah, but Indiana had to fly to Portland, right? And,
correct.
You know, it's,
correct.
All right, hold on, Tony. We got the affiliate. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci getting fired up. UCLA Bruins. Currently -3 right now at FanDuel. It's been bouncing around from 2.5. It's going up. So it seems like people, and, you know, I got to say, Tony. What do you think? Do you think this number will continue to go up? You think it'll be 3.5 by the morning type thing? I wouldn't be surprised if it does.
I agree. I expect it to be. I would be surprised if it's not. And if it's not, Gabe, then I'm going to have to make phone calls to find out why it's not. Because it should be.
Like I say, you have to make a phone call to get more money.
It's not been a great – I haven't done great in this tournament either, as you just said. So it's nothing – I'm not proud of anything I've done so far.
All right, so I do agree with you. I think UCLA are the play. I think they play similar styles. St. Mary's are a very good team. And let's look at this. So it's kind of similar. St. Mary's had a very good year. They fell short. They're the second-best team in their conference after Gonzaga. UCLA had a very good year. They fell short. They were the second-best team in the conference after Arizona.
Right.
So basically, you're telling me, all right, so the Pac-12 team on a neutral court team's only a three-point favorite over the West Coast Conference here.
Well,
and, oh, yeah, a team with NBA talent and a team that was in the Final Four last year.
That's correct. You're right.
With a coach that's got tons of tournament experience. Listen, Bennett's a good coach, but you know what I'm saying. Cronin is the advantage there. What about Michigan and Tennessee?
I'm of a few. We did a show. We talked about it today on Boozer, on a college basketball show on Wave Talk TV, and that was that I like Michigan here. Listen, that was a impressive. Listen, we talked about them. I remember us talking about them before the season started. We both like Michigan to maybe control the Big Ten and have one of the top seeds, and they just struggled, got some they dealt with some injuries and some COVID, et cetera. And where they are right now, I thought they played really well in the second 20 minutes. The first 20 minutes, they looked a little lost. They turned the ball over. Their guard play wasn't very good. But what they did in the second half is exactly what they should have done in the first. And if there's a team that lives and dies by the three, it's Tennessee, Gabe. I think Michigan has a really good chance to win this straight up.
I like where you're going with this, Mr. Finn. I agree with you. And as a bonus, too, Devontae Jones, Michigan Wolverine starting point guard, did practice with the team today and expected to play tomorrow evening against the Tennessee Volunteers. WagerTalk.com, Tony Finn, WagerTalk on Twitter. Find him. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the...
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Countdown to tip-off is on as the merry-go-round and roller coaster. March Madness is like an amusement park. There's ups, there's downs. You feel great, and then you throw up. Rob Vino steps up and in, joins us, wagertalk.com, robvinosports.com. In the house, Rob. It's always a pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, thanks for having me here tonight, Gabe.
So let's get right down to business because I want to get to as many games as possible, and I always appreciate your time. Let's start off. Let's start off with the Michigan Wolverines. Actually, we've been talking a lot about this basketball game, Michigan and Tennessee. Tennessee looked like a juggernaut against Longwood, but the SEC has had some struggles so far in this tournament. Not that the Big Ten hasn't as well, Rob. But I know a lot of people saw Tennessee blow out Longwood. They see Michigan come into this tournament with a 17-14 record. They see them struggle in the first half against Colorado State. But you and I both know every game is different in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, well, they are. That's for sure. They're all their own individual entities. I don't like getting caught up in that conference affiliation stuff, Gabe. Each team representing the same conference or a particular conference happens to have different results each and every year. Just look at the difference between, you know, the way Iowa closed the season and Purdue, yet Purdue is the team that looked really good in tournament play here yesterday.
So you don't hold it against the Mountain West that they went 0-4?
Well, you know what? I did play against the Mountain West, so maybe.
So there you go. Yeah, exactly.
You do have to treat them a little bit different. And I would say this, the way Tennessee closed, and when you go back over Tennessee's body of work, I think they're clearly the better team. Can Michigan catch fire at any point in time and the other side go cold? Sure, that's what this tournament's all about. But I like Tennessee inside, outside. I like Tennessee more defensively than I like Michigan. So I think there's a lot of edges here fundamentally for the Vols side. We'll see if Rick Barnes can put it to good use. He's a veteran head coach that's been here, done that. And I think that that's probably, to me, that's the right side where total is concerned. Not so sure, because the game could go, in my mind, one of two ways. It could be a real defensive struggle. And then I've seen games where Tennessee plays and they open up the floor and they go. So I think both teams are versatile enough to play an under or an over. I just think Tennessee really last, let's say, 15, 16 games has been the far better team. I like the current form of Tennessee much better.
Rob Vino kicking it with us. So let's talk about North Carolina and Baylor. I've discussed a lot that there hasn't been a team to repeat since the Florida Gators in 06, 07. No team has ever won the national championship before after losing their first game of their conference tournament. And it's amazing, Rob, that the last four national champions failed to get to the Sweet 16 as well. You know, listen, I'm walking the dogs tomorrow, Rob. You know what I mean? I'm going to the dog pound. I'm walking the dogs. I'm like a dog walker. Like, you know what I mean? And the people have been walk dogs. I'm gonna have like six dogs on a leash tomorrow, and they're all gonna be running around. Hopefully they don't bite me. Hopefully they bite their opponents and not me. But I think North Carolina are very live in this basketball game. I thought North Carolina, I get it, they were on the bubble, but you want to talk about current form? We're talking about a basketball team that's won seven of their last eight games. Yeah, they lost to Virginia Tech, but they were coming off that big win against Duke, and even they beat Virginia, right? So they beat Syracuse, they beat Virginia, they beat Duke. They were running through all these big-time rivals and heavyweights in their conference, and they got caught finally. They looked great. They hit 13 three-point shots against Marquette. I think this team has confidence coming into this game. How do you break down North Carolina and Baylor?
Yeah, I'll say this. We're Baylor. I'm going to lump two together for you here, Gabe. Baylor and Houston, the two teams that, due to injury or whatever, and it's mostly injury in both cases, they're a little bit depth shy. And my kind of call it strategy, call it what you want heading into this thing, was to try and fade Baylor and Houston in the second game of the weekend, right? First game, we saw Baylor coast against Norfolk State tonight. Houston UAB playing, but it's the game where one day's rest, you have to come right back and play a really good opponent.
Or you think the shortened bench, it catches up to them as the tournament goes on, the second game of the back-to-backs.
For those two teams especially, and especially in this matchup, because we know that North Carolina can push pace, and that would have a tendency, even though, you know, these 16, 12, 8, 4-minute timeouts give these guys a chance to rest during the tournament. I think that North Carolina, we saw it against Marquette. Boy, they can run. I don't know that Baylor can slow them down, so to speak. So I think it puts even more added pressure on the depth here. So for those reasons, I like UNC. There's a bunch of shot makers. Boy, Caleb Love was making shots in the opening round game, inside, outside. Again, when you're looking for teams in this tournament that can go and win you six in a row, you're looking for teams that can score interior, perimeter. I think UNC covers all the bases here. It's not going to be easy, but they are plus 5.5, so I would probably lean that way.
You're right. If you look at North Carolina, they're a very pro set style team, aren't they? You know what I mean? They're sort of like an NFL, a college team that runs the pro set, in which they've got a lot of big dudes that can pick and pop and hit the three, yet they can handle themselves on the glass, right? I mean, as you stated, they're hitting outside shots. They just hit 13 of them. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to carry over, but they have been hitting the outside shot, and we know that Baycock can play on the inside as well. So I'm just saying, they beat Virginia. Virginia tried to slow them down, and historically, too, it was interesting, Rob, Virginia and that matchup had given the Tar Heels problems in the past, yet this Tar Heel team, beat Virginia, didn't have a problem with it. That's what I like about this Tar Heel team, where they're dangerous, that I think they are diverse. They've shown that they can play a couple of different styles, this team.
Yeah, I totally agree, Gabe. And if we go to current form, they're red hot down the stretch. The Virginia Tech loss that you mentioned is the only one in their last eight games, right? They're 7-1 straight up last eight. I get the ACC a little bit down this year, but even though they lost to Virginia Tech in the ACC tournament, they had beat them 65-57 prior. That's kind of an
They're disrespected. It's kind of crazy, yeah, Rob, for a North Carolina team. Like, they remember, well, they're on the bubble, they're on the bubble. They got all those points against Coach K in the last home game. And I love them against Marquette. It's easy to pat myself on the back now, but I thought the number was short against Marquette as well.
Yeah, and I was on the total in that game because I thought Marquette would try, of course, that Shaka Smart style to try and press and pick up tempo, but it just backfired right on them. Like I say, Caleb Love was red hot. Brady Manick has been real good from the outside lately. He's got the ability to be inside, outside as an individual. So, I like, you know, the plus points here, the fact that Baylor could get worn down second game in 3 nights or 3 days, however you want to put it. I think it's probably a good side, UNC plus 5.5. Hubert Davis has that team rounding into form at a good time.
Yeah, I think Hubert Davis, I'm glad you mentioned him. I was just thinking about him. That I think he's not getting, you know, we've heard a lot of Wallace, Hubert Davis is first this and first that. I'm like, guys, like, Hubert Davis has been around longer than all you writing about him and talking about him not being around. Like, so, like, this guy's played in pretty big games, right? He's an assistant coach. Like, yeah, he's been around. Oh, yeah, he played in the NBA, by the way, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, look at people, oh, man, it drives me crazy. Some of the media and handicappers out there that they think, like, that, I don't know, they think that sports started like 5 years ago, Rob. You know what I mean? That's the best way of putting it. You know what I mean?
No, 2 years ago. It's true. You hear a lot of stuff.
Listen, what about the total, Rob? We got about a minute before the break here on this one. I think they are going to get after. I think that North Carolina thinks, well, kind of like what you said, that, yeah, Baylor are good, but I think Hubert Davis is going to think the quicker we play, the better in this game. Would you agree with that? I think North Carolina going to push the pace. I know Baylor technically the better team that can impose their will, but I think Baylor could fall into the trap of thinking, man, we're better than these guys. We can run with them, right? So I'm looking at the overside of here. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I wouldn't want to play under. I'd rather sit it out.
Exactly.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Under in this game, I think that both teams get to the foul line a lot, Gabe, and you can see teams in the bonus early in the half in this game. So there's a lot of reasons to prefer over rather than under. I'm looking at the number right now, 149. Seems to be very doable for a North Carolina game and a Baylor team that's really guard-oriented.
Rob Vino, RobVinoSports.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Let's do this thing. The roller coaster continues. Are you feeling sick yet, or are you enjoying the cotton candy that is the March Madness tournament? One shining moment. And I got to tell you, you know, we were rolling along, and then sort of like, it's like real basketball teams, man. You bet on basketball basically 16 hours a day, sort of like teams. Eventually, you're going to hit threes, and then, oh, boy, that team's cold right now. I've had a couple of runs where I'm, you know, 16-1, and next thing I know, I'm like, man, I think I just lost like seven bets in a row. But that's why we have Rob Vino on, so that doesn't happen tomorrow. So let's keep this rolling here, Rob. Rob Vino, sports.com, wagertalk.com, kicking with us on the Friday Night Freak Show. Creighton and Kansas. Creighton are just that team. Same thing, just sort of, you know, the low-hanging fruit that we hear all the time. Well, they don't have their point guard. They don't have their point guard. Well, they don't have their point guard, but they are 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 games. They're a very well-coached team, and they're finding ways, this Creighton Blue Jay basketball team. Obviously, it's a step up in class against Kansas, but it is double digits. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, you know, Kansas has to run, right? In order to be effective, I feel like I've seen enough Kansas now. They're not really that good in the half-court sets, but they're really good if you let them get out in transition, play a broken floor game, so to speak. And Creighton's got the ability. They've shown it all season long. They've kind of taken on a new identity because we're not used to watching Creighton win 58-55 style games. That's really where they're at right now. They had another injury the other day, which may slow them down a little bit. We see Kansas jumping up here point spread-wise from an opener of 10 up now to 11.5. And I'm seeing a couple of stray 12s out there too, Gabe. And I think that's due to, you know, the injury situation at Creighton. If Creighton had the same personnel that they had opening night of this tournament and through the Big East tournament, I might go that way. I still could go that way just because I think they can slow the game down enough. But I don't know that they have enough point production in them when push comes to shove. What's scary to me about this game is that Kansas's ability to put together one of those quick 10-0 spurts or something that leaves Creighton chasing. And like I say, I don't know that they've got the firepower to chase here, Gabe. So it's a big number. That kind of scares me off the favorite side. But the dog side and their, you know, even though they do have an ability to slow this one down a little bit and maybe hold tempo, keep it methodical, I don't know if they've got enough weaponry to score with Kansas. So it's an interesting game. I think I might prefer under. I'm looking at a total here of 139.5, 140, the way Creighton's been playing lately. Almost everything's been under for them, unless they're going multiple overtimes. Maybe that's the best way for me to look, Gabe.
We hit the Michigan-Tennessee game earlier with Rob Vino. If you're just joining us, Rob can't get in front of this freight train that is the Tennessee Volunteers right now. I'm a Michigan fan, so I'm coming in here with the Juwan Howard from 25, 30 years ago. We're gonna shock the world, baby. Shock the world. Remember in the hallway. going back a ways. Fab Five days. Man, that really was a long time ago. So Richmond and Providence, Rob. I'm curious your take on this one and the line. Because I find it fascinating. I was on Providence. I was on the Friars against the Jackrabbits. And I knew all about, you know, I had the Jackrabbits in the conference tournament and stuff. And they became so trendy and all this. And I was just fascinated by the fact that the Big East regular season champions were 2-point favorites against the Summit League champions. And now they're favored by more against Richmond, who I think are better than South Dakota State. I know South Dakota State had the glitzy numbers and all that. But Richmond are a scrappy street ball, punch you in the mouth, play hard for 40 minutes basketball team. And there's always these teams, you know, sort of VCU-ish, right? Same conference. So sort of VCU-ish where they go on a run. New Mexico State really impressed me, too, that they hit free throws late. They didn't back off. Physically, they matched up. They match up physically. They're not a small team. But what do you make of this Richmond-Providence? Because I've enjoyed going against everyone saying Providence suck and are lucky while they keep winning all the time. But, man, this Richmond team's the real deal, in my opinion, right now. They're just the right team at the right time. How do you make of this one?
Well, in the case of Richmond, I mean, it's always nice to have that veteran point guard. And Jacob Gilliard really, you know, controls the tempo of the game for his team. We saw that the other day when they took out Iowa. It took really poor shooting, probably the worst shooting game I've seen Iowa have all season long. However, you know, some of that has to be credited to the Richmond defense. And it's a team that has an intensity that lasts for 40 minutes, Gabe. So if you bet them, you know they're going to give you effort the entire way. I mean, that run they had through the Atlantic 10 tournament, four games, four wins in 4 days, and then come back and play on Thursday. We've seen some teams. We saw Iowa as a prime example, right? They win that tournament, then they go out and they're just dead-legged and they faltered. It wasn't the case for Richmond. This matchup here is so dictated by slow tempo and defense that I don't know how this total got bet up from 133 to 134. Very, very surprising to me. Ed Cooley's team had it, in my estimation, because I had Providence yesterday or on Thursday. In my estimation, I had it a little bit easier with South Dakota State. It's a team that's more finesse, not grind like Richmond is. The matchups here, they're almost mirror images of each other.
Exactly.
I'd give Providence a little edge in size, interior size, but not a lot. And again, Grant Golden's been around a long time for Richmond, so got leadership. You've got a great ball handler. Richmond really doesn't turn it over. You got good foul shooting. I don't know. I think points are probably at a premium here. And while, you know, the number three, 2.5 or 3, not as interested in the side as I am in the total. And what I kind of see this as a, you know, a 64-61 style game, which only comes to 125. And we're looking at 134, 134.5 right now.
I'm generally an over better, Rob, and I can't disagree with you. I think this game does get into the 120s only. That's kind of an ambitious number right there. And a similar style of game, similar style of teams, actually, just sort of East Coast and West Coast, and teams that want to play a similar style, UCLA and St. Mary's. And, you know, you could argue, I know Bruin fans last night, I guess last night, well, it's hard to keep track of days, but you know what I mean, whatever, in the Bruins game, the Bruins game against Akron last night, people were, you know, like, why do they walk the ball up so much? Why don't they let the players play a little bit more with UCLA? And I think when you look at St. Mary's this year, they have opened things up a little bit, Rob. You know what I mean? They're not quite as, no, don't do this, milk the clock. Like, they're letting their kids play a little bit more with St. Mary's, and you see the results right now. St. Mary's always has that, man, if we beat Gonzaga, this is big. But this is just one of these deals. I get it. There's no extra motivation for anybody when you're talking an NCAA tournament. But so I'm not talking about motivation, but what I'm saying, this would be a real feather in the cap, big-time win for the St. Mary's program. They've already had a great year. To beat a pedigree program like UCLA, being a California team, you know, Northern California versus SoCal here, et cetera, would be massive. Can they pull it off? I mean, they play the same style. What do you make of this matchup? And I tell you, the odds makers think they can pull it off. It's only 2.5.
Yeah, you know, and I'm kind of caught in a dilemma here, Gabe, because where St. Mary's is concerned, I like their ability to shoot from the perimeter. And it's Tommy Cousy. The last couple of weeks has just been red hot. You're talking about a kid that shoots 48% from three, and St. Mary's has three guys shooting 39% or better from outside the arc that play a lot of minutes. So that's going to be a tough cover for UCLA. But on the other hand, you know, I expected entering this tournament for UCLA to make a pretty deep run. You're bringing back the same five kids who went to the Final Four last year, been there, done that. They obviously know the setting real well, and they don't get rattled. You saw that in the opening game where they were behind, and they weren't really shook. All of a sudden, Tiger Campbell took over. UCLA took the lead and never gave it back. Why do these two teams walk the ball up? Because the head coaches are Randy Bennett and Mick Cronin. I think we've seen enough of Mick Cronin over 20-plus years.
And it's ironic because Cronin's into horse racing and stuff. So it's ironic, but that's another story.
He's a good head coach. I mean, he's going to deal with personnel.
Yeah, he's good.
And use what they're suited for best. I kind of think UCLA wins this game in the end. I like their toughness. I like their experience. I like the fact that they've been here. What keeps me off is I'm just, you know, when you're involved in a game that's this tight, you'd really rather have the shot makers side. And the shot makers belong to St. Mary's. We'll see how well UCLA guards the perimeter. I'm sure that's going to be a primary focus here for them. Interior, they should be fine. I know that Matthias Toss has been pretty good in there for St. Mary's, but UCLA can board with this team. So it's a tough one, Gabe. It really, really is. It's probably not something I'll be involved in. Maybe best left for some in-game stuff. Love the experience on one side. Love the tenacity on one side. Love the perimeter shooting of the other.
All right, Rob, we got about a minute and a half here. So we got St. Peter's, the unlikely matchup. I know the television executives were real happy to see this. St. Peter's and Murray State instead of Murray State and Kentucky. But St. Peter's, Murray State, Aggies and the Hogs. And we got Memphis and Gonzaga. So like I said, we got about a minute and a half here. What catches your eye out of these three games?
Well, let's roll quick here then. St. Peter's, Murray State, obviously Murray State's going to be up and on St. Peter's defensively, much better than Kentucky was. So that's going to hurt St. Peter's a little bit. But again, I'm looking at a game where I'm going to get 8.5 with a defensively sound club against another team that's very defensive-minded and really doesn't want to run all that much, Murray State. They'd rather be in a half court. Maybe 8.5 worth looking at there. I think it's especially worth looking at with Memphis. Personnel-wise, if we just go down the sheet of paper and match these guys up, Memphis matches up really, really well here. There shouldn't be a 30-point performance out of Drew Timmy in this game against this team. Memphis can speed it up and go with Gonzaga just the same. The only problem I would have with Memphis is that they're more prone to silly turnovers, multiple turnovers that can get you into trouble against Gonzaga. But again, there's a lot of cushion here, Gabe, plus 10 points. So I think Memphis is probably a good look. The total should be a real good look there over the number 154. And maybe St. Pete. I'm not as high on that one as I am the other one. But St. Peter's could hang within that 8.5 number. They're a tough team to defend and a tough team just to, you know, go at the snail's pace with.
Excellent breakdown as always, Rob. Great stuff, man. Time always flies by. We are running out of racetrack. Always a pleasure.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Despiértate, que el $4 breakfast meal deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un sausage McMuffin o sausage biscuit, hash brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Come on, Matt. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. Thanks for having me.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Brian. Care to place a wager?
Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Damn. Central Coast just scored. Central Coast up on MacArthur. Little Aussie action in the late night hours. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. Throwing it down here. All right. Thanks to Rob Vino for joining us on the program. We're going to get back to the basketball, but Deshaun Watson. So now with the Cleveland Browns, and man, this, you know, numbers always move whenever it's a high profile move, but this, the numbers really did move a lot. So it went from 350 to win the division to they're like plus 155 right now. But there's always a but I want to bring up. He's going to get suspended. Now, as we discussed with Sigmund Bloom earlier in the program, we never really know what Roger Goodell is going to do. Yeah, like, you know, Roger Goodell can come down with the hammer. He can come down lightly. He might like say, oh, I'm not doing anything. Right? Like, Roger Goodell, it's a difficult proposition to predict. Yet, you know, he did go, you know, he did have a grand jury against him for sexual assault. Right, so, and we've seen before, you don't have to be charged with a crime. Put it this way, people have been suspended for less than what Deshaun Watson's done. I'm not a Zeke Elliott fan. I've never been a big Zeke Elliott fan. But even Zeke Elliott, he got suspended because his buddy punched someone once, right? And I don't know what he lifted up the top of a woman, etc. He did a bunch of like sort of like little things. But the thing is, I'm not advocating, but it was at Mardi Gras, and she was like, she flashed and she pulled it back down and he pulled it back up type thing. So listen, I'm not, you know, I'm not defending Zeke Elliott. I don't want him on my team. He makes way too much money too, but I'm just saying he got suspended, right? Like, so, you know what I mean? People have been suspended for Viagra and just all kinds of stuff. People are comparing the Calvin Ridley suspension. That's different. Yeah, you can do something crazy off the field, but you're not affecting the integrity of the game. You're not planting a seed of doubt that you're doing something. Right? Like, it's a day you can't compare the two. It's a different scenario. So, You guys know, if you've tuned in, I never believed that Deshaun was going to get charged criminally, not because I think he's some saint or something, just because it was such a story that went off for so long that I think if he was going to be charged with something, he would have been charged, right? I get it that it took a little while for it to get to the grand jury and stuff, but it is crazy just that a week ago he was facing a grand jury and potentially 15 years in jail, if not longer, and now he gets a $230 million deal. But he's going to get suspended, so I'm just stating, like, before you run and say, oh, I'm going to take him to win a division, what if Goodell says you're suspended 8 games? That's like half the year. What if it's 6 games? That's a third of the year, right? So, yeah, you got Deshaun Watson, but you don't really have Deshaun Watson. You've got him 66% of the time. And, oh, yeah, he hasn't played in 2 years, right? So he's just going to come out flat, you know what I mean? So I'm just stating, in the big picture, it's a nice move for the Browns. The Browns are definitely a threat. The AFC is sick packed right now with good football teams. It's a bloodbath in the AFC. But before you're like, oh, I'm taking the Cleveland Browns to win this division, remember, he's probably going to get suspended, I think, for 4 to 6 games. Right? They gave Roethlisberger, Roethlisberger didn't get charged, right? Like, Ben Roethlisberger was never criminally charged with anything. And it was sort of, well, you know, something happened, right? It was one of those, something happened, and we don't want to hear about it, but you're getting 6 games. And then they gave, you know, they moved to 4 with good behavior type thing, right? You basically accept this. Like, Deshaun Watson's going to say, thank you, sir, like, for whatever they give him, because he knows that it's not going to be that bad. And he just signed a $230 million deal. But I don't think the Cleveland Browns know anything. As far as, oh, yeah, he's only going to get suspended for 2 games. Don't worry about it. I don't think they know. I think they're just going to roll with it and expect, like I just stated, 4 to 6 games. But it does affect division betting. So it does affect division betting. All right, so let's go through the college basketball games once again. And for those of you that hate college basketball, that are tired of it, well, whatever. It's going to die down after this weekend. We'll be back at it on Sunday, but after that, you know what I mean? It's down to the Sweet 16, and then there's just a few games. And the NBA playoffs are around the corner. The NBA playoffs are creeping up on us, actually. I was looking at teams' records last night, and I'm like, wow, this team's played 70 games. Like, we're it's getting real. Like, we're getting here now. And I'm down with all this March Madness. And I sort of go back and forth on a yearly basis, or not just yearly, but sort of in, you know, eras, so to speak. But I'm more of an NBA guy now. Like, I watch much more NBA basketball during the regular season than I did college this year. And some years in the past, I was, like, all college. Same with football. Right? There was a little run there where I was more into college football than NFL football. And I still loved NFL football, but, like, I was, like, not a college, you know what I mean? Like, people would say, man, your shows are all college football all week, right? Like, and it was like college. And, you know, it sort of goes back and forth, but the NBA is a much better product than college basketball. College basketball is not very good basketball, right? It's just not very good. What makes it good is the emotion and the craziness and the bands and the production. And like I said, like, take the crowd away. I told you guys, some people realize that. I said, take the bands away, take the crowd away, take the screaming people away and stuff. And what do you got? You got a bunch of kids playing bad basketball in an empty gym, right? It's the pageantry and everything that comes along with it. Right? It's special with the tournament. People are like, oh, college basketball is great. Yeah. They're not watching a Marist game in a regular season. Right? You're not watching a regular season Horizon League game and stuff like that, where it's just like brick central for 22 minutes straight. And even in some of the bigger conferences. But it's a great time of the year now. It's been a fun weekend. It's been a fun tournament so far. Yesterday was obviously crazier than today was, but tomorrow we're going to be in store for some stuff tomorrow. And as I stated, I think, and it's almost crazy, but everybody thinks it. Look, Tony Finn thinks North Carolina's going to win outright. Rob Vino thinks they can win outright. Coach James Young with us earlier tonight on Game Time Decisions. He told me last night, too. He goes, I'm telling you, North Carolina's going to beat Baylor. Right? They're going to win a game outright. And I like North Carolina. I'm going to sprinkle on the money line, but I'm going to come in harder on the point spread because I think it's, if North Carolina loses, it will be like at the, you know, it'll come down to the last couple of minutes type thing. We can cover the point spread. I don't want to discount Baylor. Baylor are an elite program. Baylor, they're defending national champions. But we've gone over all the scenarios, not to mention Baylor are a little, like, I like what Rob was talking about Baylor's depth. They're a little shorthanded due to injuries that have occurred over the year. They're not the same team as last year. Like, you can say, oh, well, it's Baylor. Yeah, it's Baylor, and they have really good players now, but it's not the same team, right? They don't have the same grinders on defense. Like, they really were, like, hungry last year, like a street ball team, playing for money. You know what I mean? They weren't playing around. We can argue, listen, are North Carolina softer, more finesse-ish guys type thing? Yes, than Baylor are. But the shots are falling for the Tar Heels now. 13 three-point shots that they hit against Marquette. And I know Baylor's going to be tougher to hit 13 threes, but it wasn't just the Marquette game. North Carolina had been shooting the ball well for a couple of weeks now. Like, they're 7-1 straight up in their last eight games. I like the Tar Heels, plus the points. I think it comes down to the wire. And similar with Michigan. So they're very, very similar games, similar point spreads. And at worst, we'll go 1-1 by doing this, by taking Michigan and North Carolina. And if you ask me, I would say, well, you know, they're both tough. And I'll tell you one thing, too, about the Michigan game. And I see a lot of you talking in the chat, and I can't argue with you guys. Like, even I'm a diehard Michigan fan, I even said, oh, boy, we're going to have to be a lot better on Saturday against Tennessee. Right? You're going to have to be a lot better. But the Michigan Wolverine basketball program has done this, like, they're pretty consistent in doing this, actually. They're very consistent in playing up or down to the level of the competition, Michigan. Like, the better the team that Michigan plays, they'll show up, right? They'll show up, and you'd be like, man, these guys are good, right? And it's the other spots where it's like, come on, guys. Like, you know what I mean? Where's the sense of urgency? Like, look what happened when they played Michigan State and they needed to win. They smashed them, right? What happened? Ohio State, you know, who beat Loyola Chicago today. What happened? That was only last Sunday, guys. Michigan went into Ohio State in, like, senior day in the last home game for these kids and beat them easily. Right? They beat them easily. Right? Iowa. Right? Iowa, they lost to Iowa. Right? They, you know, Purdue are in the tournament. Purdue are, like, everyone loves Purdue all the time. Michigan smoked Purdue the last time they played them. You know this, Matthias. That's what Michigan does. Like, Michigan, they did that in a beeline days. Even like, Michigan will play up or down to the level of competition. And I'm not going to dispute that Tennessee have a better team, that they have better form right now, and that they're rolling and everything's, you know what I mean? That Tennessee looked like a national championship contender. And in fact, we even said at 25-1, they were good odds to win a national championship. But with all that being stated, Hunter Dickinson can ball, bro. You know, Devontae Jones is going to be back for this basketball game. We've seen Michigan are a tournament team. Juwan Howard's going to tell these kids about, you know, talking to them about, we're going to shock the world. Like, you know, he said 27 years ago, whatever it's been. Every game is different. And also, if you look at the SEC guys, like, what's going on here? Kentucky are a great team, right? Kentucky going to the Final Four. They lost to St. Peter's. How did Alabama do? Alabama got smoked by a play-in team that had to fly across the country and play two games in 48 hours. Like, how, you know, they got smoked. Arkansas. I liked Arkansas. I was lucky I bought the half a point to get it to four because freaking Vermont. Vermont's a hockey school, okay? Oh, they're efficient. It's Vermont, okay? And what happened? I'm telling you, Matthias, you see the SEC? Are they blowing teams out now? No, they're not. This is going to be a much more closer game, man, than people think it's going to be.
I think so, too. I think Michigan actually has a real chance. You know why? I think that they don't have to feel the pressure of, you know, going out there and having to beat Colorado State because we're Michigan. Everybody
That's
expects
a good point.
Tennessee to win.
The pressure's on Tennessee now.
To win. Yeah, and I think this helps the younger players, you know, Caleb Houston. You know, Frankie Collins coming off the bench. They're not going to need to get in there and say, oh, man, you know, I have to show out right now. Now it's kind of like the pressure's on Tennessee's back. Like, we can't mess this up. And you know what? Tennessee's playing Michigan, a team that's usually, you know, that enjoys getting to the Sweet 16 on a regular basis over the last decade. You know, Michigan
much more
is not
tournament,
scared to play this game.
Much more tournament. Well, listen, this is a younger Michigan team, but there's still guys that we've got young guys. Look, Eli Brooks, bro. Guy's been in big spots in tight tournament games, right? Dickinson.
Senior leadership, Gabe.
Could have went to the NBA.
For moments in that game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these guys have been. Yeah, they stumbled. They did this. They did that. Whatever. The team that won the national championship with the Michigan Wolverines, they did the exact same thing. Like, they had a better record than 17 and 14, but they did the same thing. They, you know, they were kind of underachievers, and, you know, they got ripped, and, you know, no one thought going into the tournament they were going to do anything, and then boom, they do. All right, and then boom, boom, they do. So, yes, on paper and logically, you could say, oh, Tennessee are going to beat them and would beat them by 12. They could. Nothing's a lock. I do believe, though, Michigan will be in this basketball game, and this game will come down to the final 30 seconds.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips, and being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three-minute warning. Level three. The shot clock is ticking. Man, we didn't even get into the Ducks and the Aggies. That's right, there's NIT basketball tomorrow, too. We got CBI games. Purdue. Purdue-Fort Wayne versus the Drake. The Ducks at Texas A&M. Actually, I liked the Ducks the other night against Utah State, and I didn't bet it. It upset me. They were down by five in-game, and I was going to take them, but I was watching the NCAA tournament. I was like, ah, I want to, whatever. And I didn't do it. Normally, I would have clicked something like that. All right, so as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned, first up, 12:10 Eastern time, North Carolina and Baylor. Give me the North Carolina Tar Heels, plus the points. Matias, quickly, what's your best bets in the morning? Quick, though. Let's go. We got to be fast. You're on the clock here. Your best bets, college basketball in the morning and afternoon.
Gabe, I like Kansas. I like Kansas plus the points. And you know what? I like North Carolina, and I like them with the points as well. I'm taking Michigan with the points.
All right, so, yeah, I like those picks. I agree. As discussed with the guests this evening, I agree with them. I think Kansas will roll Creighton. I think it'll get away from Creighton as the game goes on. I think it'll get away from them. And I think I think that game's going to go over the number. Creighton and Kansas goes over the number. I like the overs. I think we're going to get after it tomorrow. We got better teams now, guys, playing head-to-head. So there's going to be less missed shots, and, you know what I mean? All these first-round games were bigger mismatches. So now it's going to get realer here. And the numbers will sort of even out. So, listen, I like Kansas. I got them in Moneyline parlays already, big time. I think they're going to cover. I think they beat down Creighton, and the game goes over the number. I like North Carolina plus the points. I think that game goes over the number. Other games. And the screen just went to back to Friday. Come on, man. What are you doing to me here? Other games. I like Richmond against Providence. Crazy as it sounds. I'm leaning Richmond. I do like UCLA a lot. I like UCLA to beat St. Mary's. St. Peter's, Murray State, under the number. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.